Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. And as always, I ask you to like and subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or whatever platform you are listening to the cast on. So what you just heard, of course, was the famous Walking Dead intro music, and that signifies we have information about The Walking Dead. I don't actually still watch the show, but many people do, and I've heard that it actually has gotten better this last season. Hopefully, for you guys that are still watching it, but you will be displeased to know that season 10 finale has been delayed due to the coronavirus. AMC said on Tuesday that season 10 finale of Walking Dead will not air as planned because the post-production was delayed due to them having to shut the show down because of coronavirus. They said in their statement, current events have unfortunately made it impossible to complete the post-production of The Walking Dead season 10 finale. So the current season will end with its 15th episode on April 5th, the network said. The finale will now appear as a special episode later in the year. So they also had an image going around where I guess Daryl's a zombie. I should have said spoiler alert. Or not. I'm not real sure because, again, I don't watch that show anymore. When Rick peaced out, so did I. But I did see online where they were talking about Michonne's character leaving and how she left. So she left her child, her son, and Judith by themselves. Is Judith grown now or something? I know they did some time shifting, but I didn't think she was grown. And I didn't think the son was grown. Anyway. Well, just so you know, it's delayed. Also in community horror news, something kind of funny happened in the midst of all the crazy. Last week, if you guys know or not, and you follow me on the Insta, I saw a tweet from Stephen King. I didn't get the first part of the conversation. But Stephen King had tweeted out, no, coronavirus is not The Stand. It's not anywhere near serious. It's survivable. Keep calm and take all reasonable precautions, right? So somebody underneath him replied to him and says, how the hell would you know? Did you even read the book? It's the funniest shit. And so I had insta'd about it, and I was like, so y'all gonna tell him or nah? But I guess we're not gonna tell him. But anyway, I think Steven has continuously been asked that question. I think he got a little tired of it. So what he did was he released a link. Twitter, he tweeted out a link to chapter 8 of The Stand. And it explains how his superbug from the book The Stand was completely different than the COVID-19. I haven't read The Stand in a really long time, but I do remember just from remembering scenes from the movie. You kind of like got that super flu that in his book you just dropped dead. That was it. you know, you were gone. But as we know, COVID-19 is not as lethal as the super flu, or it may be, I don't know. But he you know, and I think he's tired of answering the question or whatever. So if you care to hear the chapter 8 of the Stand the Book, not COVID-19, you can visit horrorfatale.com and you can get the YouTube link to the chapter, and it's free. So we need free things, and I'm glad he did that, because have y'all noticed the celebrities are losing their fucking minds with this? I don't think they're so out of touch and so, you know, distant from reality that they want us to sing away the COVID, and, you know, and people are just not for it. Hey, celebrities, we're not like you. Knock it off. If you're not going to do something useful, like Mr. King here, the rest of y'all just chill out, be rich, and have some seats. That's what we want from you guys. All right, that's this week's horror community news.
We hear a lot about cursed films around horror productions. Crazy things that happen on the set of The Exorcist, or The Omen, or Poltergeist.
When you're working intensively on a project and something really anomalous occurs, it's tempting to say this project feels cursed.
There was all of this information about the movie being cursed.
And then you enter the internet into that and forget about it.
There are rumors that they used real skeletons from India and it led to a curse.
If you need skeletons to come out of a muddy pool, what do you do? Well, get some real ones, I guess.
Our brains are designed to believe all sorts of things, whether they're poltergeists.
There was a moment during production when their sets caught fire.
Aliens and conspiracies.
Gregory Peck was supposed to be on a flight that he canceled. The plane crashed and killed everyone on board.
Angels and demons.
The Antichrist would do everything not to have this picture made. For me, that was in one ear and out the other.
It was the last night of shooting. It was the final scene with the rescue of the two children.
Things are getting too close to the helicopter. And I turn around, I said, run.
They do the shot, and then he drops down, and he didn't get up.
I think it's easier for people to try to come up with some kind of conspiracy theory that helps justify why this person is suddenly gone.
There has to be a reason for something terrible happening. That's the crux of all this cursed thinking.
I think we bring on our own curses upon us. Otherwise, you have to believe that there are really demonic forces out there.
Okay, what you just heard was the trailer for the upcoming Shudder film, Curse. And actually, it's not so much a film, but a documentary series. So let's clue you in real quick. Curse Films is a 5-part documentary series which explores the myth and legends behind some of Hollywood's notoriously cursed horror film productions. From plane accidents and bombings during the making of The Omen, to the rumored use of real human skeletons on the set of Poltergeist. These stories are legendary amongst film fans and filmmakers alike, but where does the truth lie? Curse Films reveals the events that haunted these productions through interviews with experts, witnesses, and the cast, directors, producers, who lived through real-life events. Were these films really cursed, as many believe, or just the victims of bad luck and bizarre circumstances? Well, as you might have heard previously, these were set to premiere at South by Southwest on March 13th, and the director, Jay Chell, was supposed to be in attendance, but coronavirus said nope, nah, this is not gonna happen. So for a select few of us, we got the privilege of getting to see two parts of the docuseries before it airs. And the two that I watched was the Poltergeist and the Omen episodes. And Poltergeist episode was really, really good. Because, as you know, Poltergeist, there is a series of untimely deaths connected to the making of the Poltergeist films that inspired rumors that the production was cursed. Supernatural suspicions are stoked by rumors that real humans were used during the making of the film. Now, they do go into further details discussing the deaths of a couple of the cast members. Because there were a lot. I didn't even realize there were quite that many deaths. But there really were. First off, the oldest daughter, played by Dominique Dunn, she was murdered by her boyfriend who, I guess he was abusive. Well, I guess he was abusive and he strangled her in her yard. Please read up on that and Google it. You probably already know if you're a horror fan, because that usually translates to you being a true life crime fan. But her whole deal was very sad and very tragic, what happened to her. Followed by Heather O'Rourke, who was very young. I think she's 11 when she passed away, and she's just a few years older than me from what I remember. And I remember when she passed away, it was a big deal because she was a kid, and you know, kids don't usually just die like that. Back in the day, you got hit by a car, maybe, and that took you out, but other than that, you know, you didn't die from illnesses. And she had, it was good to know they cleared it up, because there have been so many rumors about what actually happened to her. But apparently she had a birth defect that was undiagnosed and that caused her death. And like I said, the oldest sister, she was really young. She was like 22. So to have an 11-year-old and a 22-year-old to just die like that unexpectedly was kind of strange. And that does lend itself to maybe there being a curse. And then the actor that played in, the second Poltergeist, he plays this spooky ass preacher in that film. He actually I think he was sick. They didn't clarify that, but I'm pretty sure he was actually sick during the filming of Poltergeist 2. Julian Beck, that's his name. He plays Kane, and he passed away too. And then there's a Native American guy, Will Sampson, who, he's really famous for this one of my actual favorite films called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But he got sick and died as well, I want to say within a few months of them filming Poltergeist 2. Their deaths, although tragic, because all deaths are tragic, but they were at least older. So I don't know about curse as far as that goes, but it's weird that they contracted cancer relatively at the same time. Coincidence, perhaps. So they explore, they talk about those deaths in great detail. Also there's always that they do discuss that rumor of the skeletons being in that pool. It's still kind of unclear whether or not there were skeletons in that pool. They had the prop master on there, and he said something. Well, he alluded to they probably were some actual real skeletons in that pool, because he throws out this trivia about William Castle. I'm sure if you're a horror fan, you guys know who William Castle is. He directed Straight Jacket and a lot of old school horror from back in the day. I'm trying to think of one of his really famous ones, and I'm drawing a blank. But he flat out, you know, he threw out the fact that when Will Castle was filming one of his scenes, it might have been one of the scenes from like House on the Haunted Hill, or I think it was House on the Haunted Hill, where he had to have all of these skeletons. And he was like, what are you going to do? We don't have a budget to make, it's a horror film, you don't have a budget to make hundreds upon skeletons, but you can go pick them up from, like, you know, a medical waste place. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently that was a thing. And so him throwing that fact out there kind of makes me think that there were some real skeletons in that pool with Joe Beth Williams. I would like to know her take, and I would like to know if she knew that. I hope she didn't know that, because I don't think I could have did it. You're a better woman than me, Joe Beth, if you did know it. But it's a pretty good, pretty well put together episode, and it answers some questions. It discussed one that always freaked me out, the scary clown scene. That shit actually happened. That clown that strangles the son. What was his name in the movie? I know his real name is like Robbie or something, but I cannot remember that character's name in the movie. Actually, I don't remember anybody's. I know they were the Freelings, right? But anyway, Robbie Freeling, played by Oliver Robbins, that clown actually malfunctioned. And so it was legit strangling homeboy. It was not a joke. I would have liked to know how they figured it out. It was malfunctioning, because there has to be a backstory to that. But it was a really interesting episode and well worth watching. You'll get to, you know, hear some stuff that you might not know, and it's just cool because you get that whole behind the scenes kind of thing. I'm glad they stopped making Poltergeist. And, you know, I'm not going to even talk about that remake. Yeah, we're going to leave that remake alone. I'm not even going to bring it up, although I brought it up. Narrator says she brought it up. The second film that they discussed was The Omen. It's the third episode that I got to see, and it was for The Omen. I didn't know about, I never really heard a whole lot that went on with The Omen. Although, I mean, I love me some Gregory Peck. But apparently, everybody was dying in, like, plane crashes and shit. I'm like, what the hell? Plane crashes and automobile crashes. And one of the cooler things that you'll learn is that there's a scene where Lee Remick, the wife, is taking Damien to this zoo. It's like a drive-through zoo or something. And the baboons attack the car. They really did attack the car. And when you see Lee Remick's face, although she's an amazing actress, that's not acting. She was terrified, as she should have been. And there was some other stuff that happened. The interesting thing about it, with The Omen, they actually had a warlock and a self-proclaimed witch. These two men, they came on the episode and discussed how you would go about cursing a film. So that was interesting. Yeah. I'm not going to say whether I believe in that kind of stuff or not, but they do a whole ritual and it's freaky to see. I'll just tell you that for sure. The next couple of the first episode for the actual series, though, that will air is will be The Exorcist, and it'll premiere on April 2nd. I haven't seen that one. I'm really, really, really excited to see that one. I know a little something about one of the things of The Exorcist. I'm sure they'll discuss it in way bigger detail, and I don't really want to spoil anything. I haven't seen it though, but I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure they're going to talk about this. But peep this, you guys. One of the doctors in the film, I'm trying to see which one it was, but one of the doctors, she takes, as you remember in the film Exorcist, you know, Reagan, is it Reagan or Regan? I can't remember. Regan becomes possessed, and so the mom takes her to the doctor, because she's like wetting herself and just a whole lot of stuff she's doing that's off, and so she thinks maybe she has a brain injury or something along those lines. You know, she's a mom, so she's not thinking anything about being possessed or anything. And I can't even remember her. She may have been an atheist as well. But one of the people in that film that's playing the doctor, I can't remember whether he was a doctor or just, I think he was playing a doctor. I'm fucking this up. But anyway, I was trying to find the actual character. I should have looked this up. I'm always so ill-prepared for this because brain wanders. I think it's fun. Anyway, one of the doctors in the film that she goes to see, peep this, guys, in real life was a freaking serial killer. Like, a real-life serial killer. Like, I don't know whether or not they... Of course, they didn't know he was before they hired him. But... Let me see. I want to look that up because I really... Yeah, here it is. Yeah, it was him. Is it the Paul Bateson? Yeah, he was a radiographer and a convicted murderer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay. So, I hope in the episode that they talk about it a little bit more. Or whatever, and go into discussion about it, because it's like a crazy thing. But there's so much going on with that movie in the first place. It's scary because it is scary. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the best horror films because it is. Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, it happened 3 years later in New York. It was the late 70s. Six men were killed and dismembered. Their bodies were wrapped up in plastic bags and dumped into the Hudson River. Due to the conditions of the body, police were unable to identify the victims. However, upon investigating the men's clothing and identifying tattoos, authorities determined the men were gay and that the serial killer had targeted them at popular gay guys. It wasn't until the body of film critic Addison Verrill was discovered beaten and stabbed to death inside his New York apartment, police got a new lead in the case. The murderer was a man named Paul Bateson, a 30-something x-ray technician he had met at a nightclub on September 1977. The thing about it is, yeah, he did the x-rays in freaking The Exorcist. The killer had appeared in The Exorcist. Yeah, he was in it. There, when Regan, you know, goes to have, I guess now would be an MRI or something, that's the guy doing it. It's already a crazy, you know, scene on its own or whatever, but then when you think about it, the fucking serial killer is actually in the scene. Crazy shit. But I'm sure they're gonna do a better job of explaining that and all the details, but that's the first episode of Cursed. You guys, I think this is going to be a really good show. I really like the two episodes I got to see. I love the Poltergeist one. That one's my favorite. But you will discover some things along the way that you don't know. So, the series will premiere on Shudder on Thursday, April 7th with the Exorcist episode, followed by the Poltergeist. And then the Omen on April 9th, and then The Crow and The Twilight Zone movie on April 16th. That Twilight Zone one too is one to watch, because I still don't know why, I hate to say it, John Landis is not in jail. He really should have been in jail. Yeah, he just really should have been in jail, because he did not consider those kids safety at all, in my opinion. You should Google the trial and all of it. Just Google it. It's a mess. So that rambling review is this week's movie review. Thank you.
on the cringe.
So, I know that took a long time and you might have fast-forwarded through that, but I hope you did. That was the 80s intro to anything that came on HBO back in the day, and the introduction to the Tales from the Crypt theme. If you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, you'll already know this, but because I have to have, I'm trying to do at least an hour a day where it's not COVID. My day job, I do health and safety reporting and writing. So that's all I'm hearing. COVID, as we all are. So to give myself a mental break and you guys a mental break, I have been rewatching Nostalgia. And so what better time than this, where I'm in California, so we have a shelter in place order, can't really go out anyway. So I'm taking, you know, time to, you know, do what I can to take my mind off of the world that's falling apart outside. So I decided to rewatch Tales from the Crypt, and I gotta say, I cannot recommend it more. One of the guys tweeted back, he was like, they have to put this on HBO Max when they do their streaming service. And I agree, I think they should. Honestly, I have it on DVD, by the way, got it years ago, but Prime, you can rent an episode from Prime. But just rediscovering these has been a pleasure and a joy. So I'm gonna season one was a short season. It's a total of 6 episodes, and I think they put that out there because they were afraid. They didn't know how the show was gonna go, and they didn't realize that it was gonna turn into what it turned into. I think for sure that it's 7 seasons. I remember watching. I was all the way at college, I think. And I was still watching them. So they did 7 seasons. I was right. The first season has some killer episodes. They were like back to back really good. There was a weak one. It kind of, I didn't love the third episode that much, even though it was directed by Richard Donner. Who's a kind of a big deal. I'm sure y'all already know that Richard Donner did Superman and Lethal Weapon movies and Maverick and with Paul Walker, Timeline, RIP Paul Walker with your hotness. He's a big deal. So he directed that episode, and I really wanted to like it more because it has Joe Pantoliano in it. It's not a bad episode, but it kind of stood out as being a little weak with the rest of them, because the rest of them were just like kicking ass, you know. The first one is The Man Who Knew Death, that stars Will Sadler, and I thought it was interesting because he's literally the executioner in this first episode, which is called The Man Who Was Death, right? And then two years later, because this aired 1989, so 2 years later he was in Bill and Ted as the fucking Grim Reaper. He was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Journey. I thought it was like, that's a mad coincidence. I tweeted it out, and I don't think somebody didn't get it. I think they thought I was just talking about shit that he was in, because then they go, yeah, and he was in Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, he was, but he wasn't the Grim Reaper or the Executioner. Catch up. But anyway, I thought that was a cool coincidence. And then, you know, there's that famous Author the House, which was done in the movie with Joan Collins, did it back in the day. I want to say the 60s or the 70s. I'm not real sure when that movie came out. But Marianne Traynor plays her in that second one. And then Only Skin Deep, For the Win. Leah Thompson playing a crazy prostitute killer was awesome. She, you know, it was unexpected for her because she's the nice girl from Back to the Future, but not it is. And Lover, heck, to me, watching a gold digger get their comeuppance and collection completed was interesting. It's Emmett Walsh, I think that's his name. Yeah, Emmett Walsh is in it, and it's very timely because he retires from his job for the first time in, 40 years or whatever, and he's at home with his wife, Anita, and they haven't been home together like that on a constant basis. How interesting. But shenanigans ensue or whatever, and she has to get rid of his ass. But the way she does it is very good for her. You'll see. And then the second season, there's definitely killer episodes. Pun intended. Demi Moore starts it off in that second season where she, you'll see. I'm sure you've already watched these, but the fact that, I don't think she was as famous as she became. I think she'd done like San Elmo's Fire and some stuff. She hadn't become Demi Moore just yet. So to see her as a young Demi Moore before she becomes who she became was interesting. That was a good one. Let's see, Till Death was a good one. Three is a Crowd is the fifth in the second series, and it's fucking dark. There is nothing comedic. I don't even think the Crypt Keeper made a joke or whatever, because it's really fucking dark. He, you know, the married couple trying to have their anniversary, and they have this really rich friend or whatever. So the husband's batshit and just insecure and crazy as hell. So he pretty much thinks she's cheating on him. And it turns out the woman was trying to give him a surprise party. That's why she was being so secretive. And he literally strangles her with one of her hoes and drags her into the party, and the crowd's like surprise or whatever. Dark as fuck. One of the darkest episodes, I think, in the whole franchise. I have to keep going because I'm sure as I go on, it'll jog my memory about other craziness. Then there's Fitting Punishment, which is the 12th episode, and fun fact, the only episode where it's a complete African-American cast. And as you know, in Fitting Punishment, this is the one where the Moses Gunn plays this mortuary owner, and he gets his sister's child, you know, because she passes away and he has nowhere else to go. So he winds up living with, you know, Moses Gunn. And Moses Gunn is like Uncle Scrooge, but bad. He's not like, you know, Uncle Scrooge is cheap, but he takes really good care of his nephews. Not so much for Moses Gunn's Uncle Ezra. He's batshit fucking crazy, and he basically kills this kid or whatever. But as you know, it's Tales from the Crypt, so there's a nice comeuppance for him. It's truly one of the strongest one as far as horror goes, because it actually takes place in a mortuary. There's a ghost. There's a bouncing fucking ball that comes from nowhere. Y'all know how that goes. There's caskets. There's haunting. You know, all that type of good horror shit. It's highly recommended. If you want to rent an episode, pick that one up. Let's see. You know, there are some comedy ones, of course. The Ventriloquist Dummy is kind of funny because Don Rickles is in it, and he's a comedian. He's a late comedian. The late Don Rickles is in it, and usually, you know, you expect funny from him and Bobcat Goldthwait, but it got a little dark, and Don Rickles being the villain was kind of interesting. Four-Sided Triangle was straight dark side of the Dark Knight of the Scarecrow ripoff. It's okay. I don't really like Patricia Arquette. I cannot stand to hear her talk. She bugs me. Good actress, I and all that, yada yada, but I can't stand to hear her talk. So if you can listen to her whine through her lines for half an hour, so be it. You're a better person than me. I've left off with the last episode that I'm on now is Witness to Murder, and that's actually a pretty good episode as well. It's very Rear Window-y, kind of, where Patricia Clarkson plays Susie, and her and her husband are having a night in, and she goes out onto the balcony where she can see across the street to her neighbor's, her doctor neighbor's house, and she literally watches him kill his wife. Yeah, and so I had never heard of hysterical muteness. You know, hysterical blindness where you see something and you lose your vision because it's so traumatic. Well, she has hysterical muteness, I guess. But basically, you watch Richard Thomas, the doctor, try to come for her and kill her because she can't talk. I kept wondering why she didn't write it down. But, you know, it's horror, man. You have to suspend reality to enjoy it. That's definitely a suspend reality. But I will keep you guys abreast to how that's going, and suggest, if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I'll tell you the episodes that you should definitely watch if you decide to join me on this journey. Coming up next episode, we hopefully will have a book report. I am going to read The Sun Down Motel by Simone St. James. So, it came out in January. She's written a bunch of other stuff that I meant to look up and write it down. I'm just not one for taking notes. I kind of like just talking to you guys like we're just talking. I think it's cool. Anyway, we're going to end now, and I'm going to ask you to follow me on the socials. And if you follow me on the socials, you'll be able to keep up with the Tales from the Crypt. Hello. Follow me at The Horror Fatale on Instagram and at Horror Fatale on Twitter. Until next time, guys, have happy nightmares. Wash your hands. Shelter in place.
Tales from the Crypt.